Yo, what's happening?
Yo, what's happening, bro?
Right, so yeah, as you can hear, we're doing this first episode. So, you want to introduce yourself and then we'll get going with some topics.
Yeah, nice to meet you all. I'm sure I've fucking probably already spoke to most of you already. But, how can I introduce myself? What should I just start off with?
Well, most people know you through Twitter, don't they? So,
yeah. So, I'm no turn unstoned. I got my hat from Max Holloway when he said that quote. No stone unturned. He said it wrong. But it fits me perfectly because I smoke fucking bad all the time. So, it all fell flat. It's all good. Where did you get your name from, anyway?
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
The kids' film. Yeah. Favorite kids' films ever. And yeah, they say, we're not monsters, we're monsters, because they take the powers from all the basketball superstars.
Oh, right. So that's what you're going for, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So whereas everyone says they're monsters in the cage and stuff like that,
yeah.
I'm a monster.
You're a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Fair enough, so, bro.
Bit different to everyone else. And it just saves the genetic fucking... Everyone's saying we're MMA this and MMA
that. Yeah, man. Well, I did actually want to put MMA in my Twitter tag, but it was too long. So I had to settle for two Ds because some prick, whoever you are, if you're listening, and you've got the no turn and stoned with one D, you're a dead man.
So, yeah, and on this podcast, and for the next few that we're going to do, hopefully we can crack out a few, hopefully one a week at least. And we're going to have predictions, fight news, upcoming events, previous events, fighter profiles, and just shit like that.
Everything. And we could even cover polls too. You should start doing polls.
Yeah, too many people are doing them though. That's what I was saying about my tweet. Like, I've seen you and a few others do it, like two or three, didn't it? And it was all right because there was just... they were in the mix when you go through your Twitter feed, and now everyone just seems to be doing it just for follows, and it's just like,
yeah,
fuck out of here. Like,
I know.
That's only why you're doing them. Like,
I actually had no idea, right, that doing polls would gather followers like quickly, because my following grew quite quick after I'd started posting the poll, and people were interacting a lot more, you know, and then I just decided to just follow everyone who was tweeting me, and then it just went from there, really.
Yeah, see, it'd be good, obviously, like with fight week and stuff like that. If you put a poll up of who you think will win,
yeah,
leading up to the weigh-ins and stuff like that. Touch wood, no one obviously pulls out in that week, and you have to change it again. But yeah, just too many people are doing it, and it just kind of gets to me. Like, I like finding random polls that people, because obviously, sometimes I used to stream and stuff like that. And when I post some videos of us on the UFC game, streamers and stuff have started following me. So if they put a poll up saying, oh, should I stream this game or that? Yeah, I just put in a fucking random answer. Like, I'll just answer a question on a poll. Like, it could be, who do you think is going to be the next president of Gambon? And I'll answer. Not that I actually give a shit. I'll just put an answer in there just for the hell of it.
Oh, fair enough. Maybe my polls are not as accurate as I thought though.
Yeah, there's some of them that I look through and make sure they're all right, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Finding out the president of Gabon's not on my to-do list.
Fair enough, bro. There's me sitting there analysing results like people have genuinely thought about these, and there's people just clicking them for the fucking sake of it.
Yeah, let's just hope there's not so many people like me on Twitter.
Definitely hope not. I've got a roller joint right now.
And got to celebrate. I've upset a few people, and it's kind of funny. Like that when I was saying to you yesterday or the day before about, I'm not going to mention it because you technically apologised, well, a little bit, but she put up that Darren Till would survive with the 170 division. And I said, I retweeted it, but it was a good job he's gone up a weight class.
Yeah, that's welterweight, to me.
And yeah, and that blew some smoke. Like, she didn't find it very good.
Oh, man. You're making enemies.
Yeah, and then I had an argument about someone with all this Greg Hardy shit.
Oh, Greg Hardy, my favourite guy.
Yeah, every female's favourite guy.
He's probably villain of the fucking year, probably.
Yeah, and this everyone woman tried to put Greg Hardy in what he'd done and what John Jones did in a car accident in the same category. And to me, it just wasn't. Like, John Jones, obviously, he knew what he was doing, like drink driving or whatever he was doing, what he was partying, but he didn't intentionally go out to crash his car or but intentionally go out to hurt someone. Yes, he fucked up and could have went back and seen if they were all right. But to intentionally hurt a fucking woman with your bare hands, piece of shit.
Mm. To be fair to Jones, right? Being a stoner myself, I can relate to him running back to the car. Like, if I left my weed in my car, I'd be like, fuck, I need to go and grab that right now. I can relate to him on that thing. But, you know, if I just hit someone, you know, maybe a little bit of consideration is applied in that, incident.
And obviously, even if you're high, you're drunk, or if you're not, and you have a car crash, panic's going to set in no matter what, especially if you're in the wrong. How many people have car accidents and don't flee the scene? And flee the scene, when they're not drunk or when they're not on drugs?
Yeah, I know.
And yet she's saying that it's like 100 times worse because he's on it. Well, kind of not really, because he's probably been affected.
To be fair, he was probably had a hell of a fucking night. He'd probably been on it all night.
But yeah. Having an argument with her, saying that Greg Hardy and John Jones should have been in the same category for it. Don't talk like that. That's the sort of shit needs to get off my Twitter.
So, what do you think about John Jones DC3? Do you think it's going to happen in the next few months?
I don't think it'll happen in the next few months, but I did see that DC might not just have his next fight on his contract. There is something about him having another two fights on his contract to try and get that John Jones fight in. And obviously the Stipe fight. But if he takes Brock Lesnar next and wins it, is he going to sail off into the sunset like a multi-millionaire? I think so. If he gets beat by Brock Lesnar, he's going to want that title back. Or he'll come back down to light heavyweight and put absolutely everything into beating John Jones.
I don't think it happens, brother. I don't think DC beats John Jones, whether it's at heavyweight or light heavyweight.
This just sounds like I'm just like a proper fanboy of John Jones, but I don't think it happens either. I don't think there's anyone in the top 15 of the heavyweight division or the light heavyweight division that beats John Jones right now.
Nah, or in the next
couple of years.
He is, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, he is one of the best, if not the best ever.
And that's what people sort of, like on Twitter, with only what 200 something odd characters that you get, you can't have a real argument with people.
No,
and I don't like John Jones outside of the octagon. He's a piece of shit outside the octagon, but inside the cage, there's no one better. He's got the most naturally talented guy there is, and he's got the best fight IQ probably that we've ever seen in the UFC. Better than George St. Pierre, better than Randy Couture. Like, people will hate me for this, but fuck it. He is. He's just on another level, and he has been pretty much since day one.
Yeah, it's just a shame that all the steroids throws everything into doubt, you know?
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, it's why I was another argument I had on Twitter with someone. They were saying about the steroids that he's had, but the amount of steroids that he's had in his body for the past 3 years isn't enough to give him a performance edge. And multiple scientists have actually said this, and drug doping associations have said, this wouldn't give him a performance edge. And it's turinabol, something it is.
Turinabol,
which doesn't produce estrogen, which is the main component for a steroid.
But does that mean that he has previously juiced
at some point? To a certain point. But so, obviously that could have been out of camp as well. And that's when the rules of out-of-competition stuff comes into it. Because obviously Nick Diaz, they have random tests every now and then. Turn up to USADA. Doesn't matter whether you signed a fight or not, they can turn up whenever they want. And they don't have to give you any notice. They just have to tell you they're on the way and you have to be there like within an hour.
Yeah.
Nick Diaz was caught smoking weed at a party and they told him that he had to get home. So he went home and he was high. So they
tried to and
failed it. But he hadn't signed a fight. He had no contract or anything. So it was an out of competition one. And this is what people don't realize. When you get done for a drug test out of competition, you've not signed to fight anyone. It's like if TJ Dillashaw now, like, he's on Instagram looking like shit.
Yeah, did you see that video?
Yeah, if he got drug tested now and then failed a drug test. That's an in-competition test.
Yeah.
But after the fight night, if they do one the next day, that's an out-of-competition test.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. If they fail outside of competition, their suspension and fine and stuff becomes less. But in competition, that's when your first one becomes like a 2-year one, I think it is.
Right.
Depending on the severity of it, mm-hmm. as far as I'm aware.
So, what about the pound-for-pound rankings? What's your opinion on the recent update?
See, I don't, as much as I like John Jones, I don't get how he's gone from not even being ranked in the division to number two. Yeah, he had his time off and he technically never lost his title. But the biggest ones I've got that are really starting to wind me up are GSP and Conor McGregor in there. Like, yes, I'm wanting these Conor McGregor fanboys to come out and come at me. Like, how is he in at number nine?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yo, hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, sorry, bro. My fucking mic moved to them.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. You were saying...
Ones, I don't get how Jones can be unranked in the division and then come back in at number two. But my biggest gripe is Georges St-Pierre at number one, at seven, and Conor McGregor at number nine. And this is what I mean. I want these Conor McGregor fanboys to come at me. Like number what? Nine, there's more people that are more active and have more wins than him to be at number nine.
Well, let's just go back to the fact that Conor McGregor hasn't won a fight since 2016.
Exactly.
And he's had a lot of time off. He's been fucking about with his whiskey. He's been fucking about with boxing.
And the fight that he has had, he's been beaten.
Yeah.
The two that he has had, he got beat by Nate Diaz and then Khabib.
Yeah.
So,
I don't think the rematch ends differently.
No, and this is what I don't get. And Ali Abdelaziz or whatever his fucking name is, he's an idiot. He should have been doing this fucking 10 fights ago with Khabib. Like, he, as a manager of a fighter, you have belief in your fighter, even as a training partner, that you fighters have your self-belief. And he's always had this self-belief. From when he got to 10-0, he's saying, I can't be beat, I can't be beat, I can't be beat. And it just shows you how fast he's grown as a superstar. And Ali Abdelaziz thinks he's only just done it now. But when Conor McGregor fought Eddie Alvarez in New York, Khabib was on the undercard. He was on the prelims.
No, he wasn't, was he?
Yeah.
Really? Who was he fighting?
1 second. I'll find it. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he shouldn't be saying, oh, he wants the big money fight now. He should have been saying this when he was 10-0, 12-0, and he had the belief.
I can't. The only person I can see beating Khabib is Tony Ferguson. That's the only person I can see beating Khabib.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight, that, Will. It's one of them ones that's really weird to predict, but you want to watch it and you can't really... You've got to sit so far on the fence, it's unreal.
What about Khabib? If he went up to welterweight and fought Woodley, how do you see that going?
See, I always say that wrestlers have the advantage, but obviously Tyrone's a wrestler by trade as well.
Yeah.
But I just think Khabib cuts like 20, 25 pounds to get down to 155. So to get to 170, would he lose any strength or would he gain it? Mm. Would he lose any speed or would he gain it?
That's a good point.
And he'll only have to cut about 10 pounds max. If he fought him at 170. But it's just how his body would react to fighting at that weight. Because obviously he cuts so much to get to 155.
Yeah. I think you've got to consider Woodley's power in that fight. Woodley's punching power, that big right hand. We know Khabib's got a solid chin, but we know Woodley can crack. So I think I'd probably lean towards Woodley in that fight.
Yeah. On the back to the UFC New York one where McGregor fought Eddie Alvarez, Khabib Nurmagomedov was on the prelims fighting Michael Johnson.
Wow. And that was a fight that he did get wobbled in, but then he dominated.
Yeah, so to think that that was when? 2016, Conor McGregor's last win. So yeah. 2 years, Khabib Nurmagomedov's gone from like the biggest fight card on the prelims to now being the biggest draw in the UFC.
And beating Conor McGregor himself.
In the process, yeah. I'm steamrolling through the division. Making it look hard.
I'm a big Khabib fan. I really appreciate his style, his dominance. I appreciate his grappling, all of his throws, his judo throws are fucking insane.
Yeah, and it's like when we were saying, when we were playing Xbox earlier, and I said to you that when they did the side-by-side of the stats and stuff like that of what him and McGregor was, McGregor had a better takedown defense, I think it was, and Khabib had a better striking ratio, lower punches landed percentage to what Conor McGregor did, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, that is a crazy stat.
But yeah, Khabib's a scary dude. Like, he's the sort of guy, if you found him in bed with your missus, you'd turn it, tuck him in and ask him what he wants for breakfast.
You're using one of my fucking jokes. You bastard. You had to get that one in quick before I could get that in then.
But yeah, it's one of them things, and he's just scary. He's a scary guy, because even against Ally Aquinta, Ally Aquinta caught him with a few shots. But Al was like, what, top 14?
Yeah, Al done well in that fight. His boxing was good. Once again, Khabib just imposing his will.
Yeah.
Going the whole, five rounds. I really enjoyed that fight. I know some people were complaining about that fight. They didn't like it. They thought Khabib looked bad. You know, Joe Rogan's commentary was very negative of Khabib's performance during that fight.
Yeah, it's one of them things, though. If you're set to fight number two in the division, or ranked number one, sorry, whilst you're the champion, you're going to be on top of your game. But then if someone says, you can fight this guy that's number 14 instead, you're going to be like, all right, fuck it. Like, you're not going to put in your best performance. He could have finished out in the first round or the second round, but he likes to, because he doesn't take much damage, Khabib. He likes to dominate these people and just, like, scare the shit out of the rest of the division, basically. Well,
he completely breaks their will.
Yeah.
That's his whole thing.
He makes people not want to get in there. So this is what I mean. Like, you've got to give props to Conor McGregor for saying, you know what, fuck it, I'll fight him.
Yeah. And yeah, take some balls. Absolutely.
But yeah, I think he'd survive at the 170 division. I'm just not sure if he'd get the title. I think it might take him a year, 2 years, maybe three or four fights.
I'd like to see him go up. I think that'd be epic. I'd like to see him at a bigger weight class, more muscle, maybe more endurance. You know, we'll have to see.
And this is the only way, like, ever that I'd accept a 160, 165 division. Because obviously everyone's saying about it, and I don't think there should be extra weight divisions. I think people just need to be more disciplined.
Well, maybe more fighters need to go up.
Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. If Henry Cejudo never once complained about making 125 or whatever it was, yet TJ Dillashaw's like, yeah, do you know what? I'll go down to 125. I'll fight him down there. So how can he go down, make weight down there, and then Henry Cejudo's like, oh, I'll go up. So why is he going to take the chance to go up to fight a guy? And basically his biggest win ever, just because he wants an extra 10 pounds. But I think Khabib would be perfect at that about 162, 163 division around that area, because I don't think he's big enough for 170 height wise, but he's too big for 155, he's just too dominant.
I'd love to see the 165 division or 160, man. That'd be great. Nah, 165, not 160.
Yeah, see, and then my other point is, you make a 165 division, you've got Dustin Poirier going up, people like Max Holloway going up, Conor McGregor would probably go up, Khabib would probably go up.
Yeah.
You've got like 10 at the top 15 moving
Kevin
up.
Kevin Lee.
Yeah, you've got 10, your top 10 fighters out of the division moving up to a 165 division. So what's the point? Like, surely you should just find them more if they miss weight. Yeah, I get that people get sick and stuff and they can't always make weight. But it's your job. Like, one of your job roles is to make weight.
Yeah.
So.
What about the recent poll I've just posted? Do you think Tony Ferguson will become the undisputed UFC lightweight champion this year?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you vote yes? At the moment, it's only got 480 votes. 52% of fans think no.
Hang on, man. Let me just go on to it. But yeah, it's another one of them things. Like, it's how he stays. Oh yeah, I voted yes. I voted yes already. Yeah,
nice.
But it's, yeah, everyone can see him beating Khabib, But then, obviously, this is the most unorthodox fighter that Khabib's ever fought. So, will we see a different Khabib, or will he just come out and just steamroll him like he does with everyone else, take him down and just beat him?
Who, Conor McGregor now? Or Tony? You talk Tony. Yeah. Oh, well, with Tony, you've got to consider his jiu-jitsu. You've got to consider the fact that he can take incredible punishment, keep going forward, win a fight. He almost does it every fight. Like, look at the Pettis fight. Look how crazy that fight was. When he got hurt, he done some ninja roll. He gets up, he starts throwing punches like a fucking zombie. And then he goes on to stop the fight. You know, the doctors called the fight. But that was an amazing fight. Tony Ferguson's a monster.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like basically, well, it's cliche, but it's style versus style. But Tony doesn't sort of have a style. He's, as they call John Jones, he's a whoopsie-doo fighter. Shocking. He's all over the place.
Yeah. But it works, you know? His style works. It's effective.
Yeah, and it's good. Well, there's massive things to look forward to this year. Like, this is one of the things I was going to say to you. How many titles do you think are going to change hands this year? Or how many titles do you think will be defended?
Well, I think Bobby's got a tough year ahead of him. He's got some fucking sharks in that middleweight division. Like, think about Israel Adesanya is making his way through. 4 wins in 2018, 3 performance of the night bonuses. He's looked incredible. And then you've got Paulo Costa just fucking steamrolled Uriah Hall. Even Yoel Romero pulled out of a fight with him. Even the fucking Soldier of God is scared of this guy. He looks like fucking Jesus crossed with Hulk.
I know. If anyone should be getting tested for steroids, it's him. Like, yeah. Either that or he eats bricks for breakfast.
That man eats fucking steroids for fucking breakfast, lunch and dinner. Did you see that video of him on a fucking IV drip?
Who?
Paulo Costa. There was a video posted by, I think, by his teammates or by somebody on his team on an Instagram account. And it was a video of Paulo Costa sitting in a chair with an IV strapped to his fucking arm. And people were saying, yo, that's an IV. Like, that's not allowed.
Yeah, but if he's in Brazil, it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't remember where it was.
Yeah, if it's posted in Brazil, because that's what... it's funny you should say that, actually. This is the main subject that I talk about when I talk about weight cutting.
Mm.
That Anderson Silva used to do it. Anderson Silva walks around at 230.
Fuck.
He fights at 185. And he used to do it. Now the UFC have obviously stopped it in Vegas and stuff like that. He used to weigh in and he'd only be 185 for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes till he could get from the venue back to his hotel. And then he'd go and sit in his hotel room for 3 hours on an IV.
Wow, really?
Yeah, to put all the weight back on.
So what would he weigh at fight night?
We're close to about 220, well, between 220 and 230.
And he's quite the big guy too. And he, what was he, 6'2", something,
yeah,
like that?
Something like that, yeah. So he looked kind of in proportion. Look at him when he fought, was it Stefan Bonner he fought? At 205. Who did he fight at 205?
Oh, I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
I think it was Stefan Bonner or Forrest Griffin, I think it might have been, that he fought at 205. And he was like, yeah, I can make that weight. And he made it in like a week because he only had to cut 15 pounds.
Mm.
Or 20 pounds. So it's better than him cutting 50.
How do you see his fight going with Adesanya?
I think they're feeding him to the lions. I like Adesanya. Derek Brunson, I think, just wasn't enough test for him. And I think the bright lights sort of get to him.
Yeah, Derek Brunson. Much. He looked like a rabbit in the headlights, didn't he?
Yeah, the bright lights and the hype around Adesanya gets to him. So I think they sort of got a bit starstruck. And Adesanya, he's got nothing to lose, really, has he? He's what, 23, 24? So he loses one, he's still going to come back and he's still going to get a title shot because he's that talented. Whereas Derek Brunson's like in his 30s, 32 or something. So
yeah.
He's sort of on the back end of his career and he knew he was going to go in there and fuck him up.
He's had a lot of defeats and a lot of success, Brunson. He's had a mix, haven't he?
Yeah, he's sort of like a top 10, 12 guy. Like,
yeah.
If you need someone that's coming through like Adesanya to
like a little
gate.
Yeah. Feed him to Brunson.
Yeah, you need a stepping stone and someone to look good. Obviously, this is what the UFC do, which is really quite annoying.
Yeah.
But they get these superstars like they've done it with Sage Northcutt, Mickey Gall, and then obviously now they're doing it with Israel Adesanya, and I think that's what their plan was with Sean O'Malley, to give them these fights. Not saying that these guys need these fights because they are talented, but to give them more of a fan base because they're so active on social media.
Yeah. I like Sean O'Malley. He does some live streaming too.
Yeah, he's shit hot at gaming. He actually plays for a gaming team.
All right.
Yeah, hang on, let me find it. I can't remember what they're called now, but yeah, he does. Guy Shook. Is it Guy Shook? Hang on a minute. On Twitter. Yeah, Guy Shook.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's just put, honestly, entertain me. Give me something I can't get from the other 300 podcasts available. An opinion that isn't the norm and a topic that might be overlooked. So the topic I'm going to give him, obviously you're saying about Bobby having a hard year. He's probably the most underrated fighter in the UFC.
Yeah, absolutely. I fucking love Robert Whittaker. I posted a tweet the other day saying that I think he's one of the best pound for pound in the world. And quite a lot of people agreed. But at the same time, a lot of people think Adesanya is just going to clean Whittaker out. Like, it's not going to happen, man.
No. And this is what I'm saying. People were saying that people are overlooked. Like, Adesanya's not being overlooked because he's so young. But you look at that Yoel Romero fight with Robert Whittaker, everyone was like, he's going to get killed because obviously the guy is such a freak. Like, what's 40 years old? And the guy's an animal.
Yeah, I watched Whittaker Romero 2 last night, and it's fucking crazy. To be honest, I actually do think Romero won the fight. Like, I know it's all in 1 or 2 points, you know, with that last round. Rob was still firing back, even though, you know, he was getting battered. So it's probably not a 10-8 round, but still, with the knockdowns.
He dropped him twice as well, didn't he?
Yeah, man. He dropped him with some huge punches.
Yeah, and it's like the beating that they went through, both of them, in that fight. I think a lot of people sort of took note of who Robert Whittaker was.
Yeah.
It's really shitty that they did it that fight.
He's tough as fuck, man. He's one of the best.
And he obviously just come back from shoulder surgery as well.
The problem with Whittaker is, he breaks his hands, man. He's broken, both of his hands, and now he broke his hand again fighting Romero. So he's going to be out for a while. But, well, he's fighting Gastelum, isn't
he? Yeah, and that's a rerun of the tough final, I think it is.
Oh, have they fought before?
Yeah, I think they fought in the Ultimate Fighter finale.
Ah, did they really?
Yeah, I'm sure I think it was the Tough Smashers. Not the Tough Smashers, it was... maybe in season 18, I think, or something like that. Yeah, it was like 4 years ago.
All right.
But yeah, that's going to be a good one as well. Like, another fighter that's overlooked is Calvin Gastelum. And obviously he had that up and down spell when he was in the 170 division, when he couldn't make weight. And now, obviously gone up, and he's finishing people. He's a killer. Like, look what he did to Michael Bisping.
Yeah, he fucking murdered Bisping. I saw that one coming too.
Yeah, I think that was when Bisping was on his downfall, but the story of Bisping's another podcast. Like, I'd feature a whole podcast on him.
Yeah, I like Bisping. I think he's hilarious. I'm glad he's going to be on the commentary team now this year, isn't he?
Oh, have they confirmed that? Okay, is that why they're not... re-signing Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, poor old Jimmy, Joe Rogan's twin. He's gone.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of confusion about what he was asking for, because obviously Bellator refused to sign him as well.
Ah, right. Maybe he priced himself out.
Yeah, because he left Bellator to go to the UFC, and people think that he's, like you said, he's priced himself out a bit too much, where he's asking for too much money from the UFC, or Bellator, sorry, at first. And that's why they never re-signed him, and now he's done the same with the UFC.
Who would you give your MMA awards for 2018 to then?
Oh, fight of the night. That's a tough one. For me, that's between Yoel Romero and Robert Whittaker, too.
Yeah.
And... oh, man, this is a hard one. Probably Yeah, Rodriguez, the Korean zombie, just because of how it finished.
Yeah. Well, fight of the year, I think I'd give mine to Rob Yoel too as well. And shortly followed by Tony Ferguson and Anthony Pettis. Because the UFC posted that poll earlier, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then I think Yair and Korean Zombie number 3 and Poirier Gaethje number 4.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'd go with.
The performance of the year, like, not a lot of people agree with this, or probably not a lot of people watched it because it was on the prelims, was Julio Arce's last fight. Like, it went 3 rounds. It was on the, was it the New York card? I'm sure it was, yeah, where him, because there was 3 fighters from the same gym, Shane Burgos, Julio Arce, and Lyman Good, all fought fight from Tiger Shulman's in New Jersey. And obviously, Shane Burgos won first round KO, and Lyman Good won in like 1:30. But Julio Arce, like, that was fight of the night for me. Like, he got beat up, but he also gave a beating as well. They were both bloody, everything like that. He was dropped, like, the doctor almost stopped it 3 times in the corner, and he just kept going. He was like, no, I'm good. No, I'm good. Blood pissing everywhere. He's like, yeah, I'm still going. Still going. And yeah, it just like showed incredible heart to finish the fight.
For my...
Get to the judges.
Yeah, yeah, therefore. For my performance of the year, I think I'd go with Khabib versus Conor. Such a dominant, fucking perfect game plan. Take him down, wear him out, stick to him early on, you know, don't give him any room to, you know, escape. I thought it was just perfect game plan, implemented it well. I was a bit disappointed with the finish, to be honest. I thought it was going to be a bit more of a fucking bloody finish, you know. Conor didn't do, you know, that bad defense-wise, blocking the punches. But I absolutely loved the second round when he stacked him. And yeah. I loved when he was talking to him, saying, hey, talk now, talk now. I thought that was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I think Khabib had won it by the press conference. Like what McGregor does, Khabib sort of done it to him, but not his way. Obviously, McGregor gets in your head and he's won the fight pretty much before you even get in there.
Yeah.
Like what he did to Eddie Alvarez and he fucked him up. But yeah. Khabib not getting involved in it until after the fight, that sort of messed with McGregor's head. Obviously, when he turned up to the press conference pissed, selling his whiskey and stuff. Khabib, like, he hasn't got that sense of humour yet and he doesn't realise that he has to build fans. He's kind of like old school. He wants to build his legacy by killing people, like,
yeah,
like destroying them, like, because it's a sport, not as much as it is entertainment, where they are still professional athletes, and that's what people don't like, and that's the way I think he sees it. Like, McGregor could have said, they could have done another 12 press conferences, and Khabib still wouldn't have got involved, and the result would have still happened in the cage.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro.
But yeah, like, that was the best thing ever for me, like, Dylan Danis talking shit to him the whole way through, and then Khabib jumps out the ring like an eagle to go for Dylan Danis.
Yeah, but I thought it was hilarious.
But yeah, like, who else do you think is going to have their title taken? Or not have their title taken?
I think... Who do I think? Yeah, I think Rob is going to have a tough year. I think Khabib is going to have a tough fight, whether he fights, you know, Tony, when he fights Tony. And Max, if Max stays at featherweight and we end up seeing him fight Zabit, I think that'd be fucking incredible.
Yeah, Zabit looks like he needs to go up as well. The guy looks like he needs a good dinner. Like,
yeah, he looks like a bean bowl.
He looks like a greyhound dog, but in a human version. Like, because them dogs just look like they need feeding as well.
He looks like Albert Einstein crossed with a Pepper Army.
See, I think the biggest title shot will be the heavyweights. Because obviously, if DC doesn't take the Brock fight, obviously, I don't think it's going to be a title fight, whether he takes it or he doesn't. If Jones goes up there, it's a tough one, but I can still see Jones getting the job done because everyone's saying, oh, DC will be stronger, it'll be more powerful. so would Jones with an extra £40 on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he cuts from 240, 250 as well. Like,
does he?
I'm sure someone put on Instagram that they'd seen him, or it was on Twitter that they'd seen him, and he was walking around whilst he was suspended, 260.
Holy fuck.
He posted it, yeah. And or it was at 260 or 250 or something like that. And he was in the gym lifting weights at 250 because he knew he didn't have to train. So, like, he was just saying, all I'm doing is sat eating and shit like that, like, and just training every now and then. But he put that mass on and looked absolutely huge.
Oh, yeah, he's a beast.
But then, obviously, the question is, whatever fight DC has, like, take that out of the equation. After DC, if he takes the Brock fight and loses, does Brock stay on as champion? Because supposedly Brock doesn't want to come back at all.
DC is not losing to Brock Lesnar. Fuck that juicehead monkey.
Oh, well, no one forced DC to beat Stipe.
Oh, no. I got to be honest. I honestly thought Stipe was going to win that.
I thought he was going to do what he did with Francis Ngannou. Like, I get DC's an Olympic wrestler and whatever, two-division All-American state champion. But yeah, what Stipe did to Francis Ngannou, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Like, and he just wore him down. I thought that's the tactic Stipe would have had, but instead he wanted to try and stand and bang with him because Stipe's got that power.
Yeah, but you've got to consider the fucking eye pokes too.
Yeah.
There was a lot of eye pokes, especially the what looked like a flick. Because I remember that flick and just thought, what the fuck is that? But
DC gives up a lot of height as well.
Yeah, he does. It was a clever tactic though, with the, you know, with the inside dirty boxing, tie clinch, the clinch. And then he obviously picked up on the fact that Stipe drops his hands when he's coming out of a clinch. And he picked up on that and he timed that punch perfectly. He fucking dropped him, stunned him. And, you know, he got over the top of him and he landed, what, another four punches and he was out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, obviously. It's like a game of chess, really. You pick up that little one thing like DC did with him dropping his hand and what Jones did to DC when he leans into the kick. It's one of those things. But who do you think takes the title when DC goes? Whether it be one fight, two fights, where however long DC stays, who do you think takes the title after him? So at the minute, you've got the top 10 heavyweights. DC, Stipe, Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou, Curtis Blaydes, Volkov, Junior Dos Santos, Alexei Olenek. Yeah, Justin Willis, and then obviously you've got Cain Velasquez coming back as well.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for Cain to come back. I love Cain.
So you've got that, and by who takes the next title?
Oh, I don't know, mate. I haven't got an answer. Honestly, I have no idea. You can't, let's be honest, if the best heavyweight in history only defended three times, how can you honestly pick with confidence? Like, they're so heavy-handed, one fucking little tinkle punch to your nose could knock you out.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think the heavyweight division is going to have the most activity this year because the heavyweights don't seem to get as injured as what the other divisions do. Like, look at, was it Tony Ferguson that tripped over a fucking wire with a pair of sunglasses on inside?
Yep.
Like, well, stupid shit like that. That's what lightweights do. Lightweights are the celebrities of the UFC world. Like, they are. They're there by popular demand. They get injured for stupid stuff. Like tripping over wires because you're wearing sunglasses inside because he thinks he's a celebrity. Because he's a superstar. Yeah, you've got Mark Hunt making adverts about girls bringing boyfriends home and him answering the fucking door and stuff and not giving a shit. Like,
I love Mark Hunt. He's fucking great.
And yeah, and that's the difference. Obviously, you've got Mark Hunt doing that, saying, oh, fuck Dana White, fuck the UFC, and all these juice heads and stuff like that. Yet, you've got the lightweights going round on eggshells, like not wanting to upset anyone, but they want to impress everyone. And they sort of care what people say, whereas the heavyweights are like, nah, fuck this. Like DC making an advert with cake and chicken.
Right, I've got a fucking low battery now. We got nearly 40 minutes.
Yeah.
To want to send it over to me and I'll have a little listen in the morning and I'll cut parts out.
Yeah, so get to the end, do your shout outs for like social media and stuff like that and what have you.
Right, okay. Go on, you go first then, and I'll follow your lead.
I'm on at Monstars MMA on Twitter and Instagram and Monstars MMA Facebook page as well. Oh, and YouTube, yeah. The same for all.
Yep, I'm No Turn and Stone with two D's on Twitter. Again, if you're listening with No Turn and Stone, one D, I'm coming for you. I've got Instagram account, No Turn and Stone MMA. I'm also on YouTube, No Turn and Stone MMA. Link is in my bio. New videos and podcasts being uploaded to that soon. And yeah, that's about it. I've also got a blog, which you can read my articles if you're into that shit. Yeah, if that's not, pretty start. Much it.
So yeah, one last question. Biggest winner of 2019?
Biggest winner of 2019?
Any fighter.
Well, who's going to be the most successful?
Active, yeah, most active, most successful, or win a title, and if they've got it, keep it and defend it.
I think I'll go with Max. I think Max is going to have another good year, a couple of successful defenses, maybe even three, you know, maybe two or three. I think he'll do well. If he fights Zabit, though, that's when, you know, things are going to get difficult.
Good stuff. I was going to say, biggest shock that's going to happen this year.
Biggest shock. Dana White says something with a truthful value.
How many times does Conor McGregor fight this year?
Conor McGregor will fight one more time this year after his suspension sorted. Whether it'll be Khabib, whether it'll be Nate, who fucking knows. But yeah, I think you'll fight one more time. I don't think you'll fight two times. I definitely don't think you'll fight three times either, like some people have said.
Yeah, so on them questions, I'm going to go Amanda Nunes, because I think she'll defend in two divisions. I think she'll keep both of them. And obviously, she can in both divisions. That £10 ain't much to her. And 145 is a natural weight. She's deadly in both. I think she might even try and go for the next one. Is it Shevchenko?
Oh, yeah.
I think she might even go for that as well. But yeah,
that'd be big, good.
Biggest shock. I think Khabib getting beat. It's going to happen this year. I'll throw it out there.
That's a good one to go for.
And the most likely thing that's going to happen, Conor McGregor not to fight at all.
Nah. Just drink whiskey and fucking sniff coke.
Well, I don't think obviously he doesn't need the money or anything like that, but I think he wants Floyd Mayweather says he wants another match with him, and supposedly someone said that's in the works. Someone close to McGregor said that's in the works. Or he's going to fight someone else in boxing.
Khabib
wants this shot. Is he going to risk being humiliated again? So he ain't going to take that Khabib fight. And then does he build up the lightweight division by taking Max before Max gets Khabib? And obviously with Max wanting Khabib.
Yeah. That's true. That's true, man.
But yeah, good stuff. Good. Enjoyed it. Everyone should give it a listen and go follow us on social media and be ready for episode 2.
Yeah, this is a bit fucking rough and ready, this first one, because we are quite new to this, obviously. But time will tell. We all fucking get better each time.
But yeah, once we're posted on iTunes and SoundCloud, make sure you fucking subscribe as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Good stuff.
Great stuff, bro. Right, speak to you in a bit.
See you soon.
Yeah, ta-ra, bro.